Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Free Max B. But always find myself back at the back in alien. Blood vessels popping out my craniums. Niggas asking when the tape gon' drop, but I got nothing to say to them, because I've been slacking the skill. Although my passion is real, I'm too caught up catching the feel when I should be cashing the mill. There's something about me being younger that affected my hunger. Got older in number, realize I can't count on these hundreds to determine my elation. Pursue the happiness I keep facing. These motherfuckers racist, these ain't fear racist, they just let the fear erase us. Adopted by the slums, son of God, this is how they raise us. Yo, son, we gotta raise up. Don't let them disarray us. So we raise us in the sun. So we gotta wake up.
Cause they always leave behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent. Apex on the verge. Tonight reserving surface. Cause they always leave behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent.
Got a whole bunch of shit up on my plate now. Thinking like, in the man garden, it's the snake now. Cause I don't know who to believe or who to deceive. Got me thinking I sold my soul and they receive and receive, but I won't proceed to retreat. Jigga told me watch the throne seat, and now I seize it. And the respect to big, I gotta seize it. And I hope you see me, cause these niggas don't want beef with my talents. They ain't fit for this green, they just eat the salad. You think because you have it, they just gonna let you have it. It's a lot to learning that my nigga needs to access. It's the access to the earth. At the birth, I found a new balance, and now I walk on water like I knew balance, just like a relative. Marijuana sedatives got me thinking I should put a bomb right where the Senate is. Cause they corrupting the youth. We ain't deducting the truth. Looking at the president like, yo, it must be nothing to you.
Cause they always be behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent. Apex on a verdict tonight, preserving surface. Cause they always be behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent.
I passed the Dutch to the left and it started to make sense. It's funny how I see it more straight when I'm bent. You've been warned on the wrist to take the sit on top. Been on clock, cause you can see that I've been on watch. Shit don't stop till you make the sacrifices. Training was priceless to ISIS and devices. When the lights switch, I shift like I'm typing. Living in the era with crisis, the crisis, the lifeless. And the transacting like your man. Bitch niggas only know that transactions is the plans. But the mic is in my hand, so I salad the boot. The blacker the berry is, the more sour the fruit. They ejecting us to make us cowards to the power of two. We can't fly with some roots, and now we just moving cahoots. I move from the stoop and put my foot right down on the asphalt. Every night I ask, Lord, if this what I ask for.
Cause they always be behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent. Apex on a verdict tonight, preserving surface. Cause they always be behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent. Cause they always be behind in the cut. Always in the skies watching stars when they up. So don't you confide into the evil and corrupt. This is urgent. Apex on a verdict tonight, preserving.
Alright, alright, okay. We got you back in the building, man.
Oh, yeah. What's up with you, man?
Blog Talk Radio, man.
Let's go. In his slide. Tuned in the dinner slide. Even though I still got ladies choosing, setting my
my alarm clock for 3:45 central time. No snoozing, whether the crib or you cruising. If you ain't tuned in to Dennis Live Show from 4 to 5:30, then you losing. It's about that time. Go on, hit the line. Go on, get your friend. Speak your mind or listen in. You know we about to get it in. Log on or listen in. Dennis Live, you so many internet gigabytes. Bill Gates listening. Love for other blog sites. Comparing the shadow of the cities. It's like bringing cats to a dogfight. When pesos fit is pure talent. You couldn't see me if you turned on your halogens. Your high beams are fog light. Shad drop bomb. Info type triple dub. Western World O-N-E.com. The Shad drop bomb. Need some info type triple W's. Western World O-N-E.com. As the thin is live. In 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 is live. Tuned in. Dennis Live.
Sleep Dilla Productions.
Soundmaster T.
WesternWorld.com. www.westernworldone.com. Blog Talk Radio. Chi-Town, what up? Let's go. You already know me.
What's going on, people? How y'all coming out there? It's your boy, man. Dennis Live, man. We in the building. 2014. Don't even seem like it, man. It's moving. But it's just moving. You know what I'm saying? Well, check it out, man. Today, man, this show is about prison. Yeah, I said it. Okay. Check it out, man. The title is called, If You Build It, They Will Come. Welcome to Jail 101. Okay, now, my meaning behind this is, you got to look at the fact of that the jails are making more money than an average business. And all they're doing is creating more laws and policies and regulations to pass so that you can't, so that you will go to jail. They're trying to get you off the street, people. You see, you think it's the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, right? If it's not, it probably is, but, I mean, how can you knock something like this? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. Well, I got a clip for you. And I want y'all to check it out, all right? I'll be right back. Let's go.
Costs for correctional facilities, or in other words, prisons, quadrupling in the past 20 years to $52 billion in the U.S. With taxpayers on the hook for much of that, is there a way you can actually make crime pay? Our next guest says, you bet. Reva Shakatai is Senior Vice President at RBC Wealth Management, and she joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Reva.
Thank you, Dennis.
So let's just go broad picture first. The U.S. is the most prison-prone country in the world, right? Tell us about that.
We have 2.3 million inmates in the state prison system, in the federal prison system, and in local jails. There is a difference between prison and jail.
Yes, it's a 1 year, but it doesn't matter. It's not diverse. Louisiana, 1 in 86 people.
1 in 86, absolutely. If you look at the country as a whole, it's 1 in 104. But if you look at both parolees and probation in addition, it's 1 in 33 people who are in the state or federal prison system.
Right. And California has 7 times as many prisoners as Iran, the entire country does.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So there's clearly demand here. Now, most times when people think about trying to make money on prisons, they look at the publicly held prison, for-profit prison companies. You've got CXW and GEO. But you think those guys might be kind of played out. Why is that?
Well, the growth of those types of companies really happened post 9/11. When the U.S. Marshals Service and ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, got the contracts to detain immigrants. So 50% of all immigrant detainees are in the private prisons. They adopted the approach, if you build it, they will come. But there's a mismatch with the need. They have excess capacity, but it doesn't exactly fill the need of the public prison system.
Okay, but those aren't where they need to be. So if we get rid of CXW and GEO, instead, you like a couple of actual California state prison bonds. Tell us about those.
California operates just about the biggest prison system in the country. You have an occupancy rate of these prisons of 155%. The demand definitely outstrips the supply. So there's a segment of the fixed income market called lease revenue bonds. And this is a play on the municipal bond market. It's a more conservative approach to playing the prison market. A lease revenue bond that plays the prisons compared to a general obligation bond of the same maturity can yield 10 to 50% more.
A prison bond, more than a regular government bond from a local government?
From a state government.
Right.
So from a California GO perspective. I'm not talking about jail bonds. Those are highly speculative, and that's where you hear about the defaults in the prison market.
I see. Now, in addition to California, are all state bonds kind of safe to look at for prison purposes? Do all state bonds pay higher than their regular general obligation bonds?
There's a couple of states that you can really look to, like California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Michigan. These are the biggest issuers of the lease revenue bonds that fund correctional facilities. So for an income-hungry investor that's looking for relative value, I think there's a huge opportunity in these bonds that are absolutely underfollowed by the market.
And they're tax-free as well,
they're
right?
They're tax-free income, absolutely.
Okay. And part of this plays into your theme. You know, your clients call you the grave dancer because you like to put money into things where the customer has little choice. You feel like cigarettes, people are addicted, gambling even has some addicts, and certainly in prison, the customers have no choice but to be customers, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other place to go. I think that the country will stop at nothing to protect public safety. So I think that the prison market's a great place to be.
So why not profit from it? All right, thank you very much for being with us, Reva Shakatai. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Wow. So what you think, people? No, they call her the death lady. Because what she does is she invests her money in bonds that people die off of. That people die from. Cigarettes. She making sure that she invests into them bonds. And then they tax-free bonds now. They not like bonds as into, you know, like if you invest into these bonds, you know, how you just buy some bonds, for school bonds, from CD, what they call CDC bonds. Come on, man. It's crazy, man. And what I'm going to do is today, man, I'm just going to be, just doing little clips. Excuse me, gasping, everybody. I'm going to be doing little clips, man, on different states. You know, so they said California is one of the biggest states. So you got to watch that. And then also, I'm going to do a clip about Colorado, man. How they build it. It's just, man, I just think this is really important, man, for people to learn this. You feel me? All right, man, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a couple commercial breaks, man, and then we're going to come back and, you know, say hopefully my co-host and everybody should be in by that time. I see him play a song, man. You know what I'm saying? And then we're going to come on back. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Let me go, gang.
I just left Columbia.
Birdman.
Count up.
Rouse. Double M. Gua. Brick Squad. Young Scooter.
Yeah.
Rosé. Stunner. Rich Gang. What's that, nigga?
Maybach music.
I can make cocaine. 3.5 kilos on my dope chain. I just flew to Haiti. So fuck around, gave me 80. Chickens like a wing stop. Nigga tried to kill me, but I had the thing cut. They think I know the voodoo. How they keep showing my ghosts on that channel too. I'm having dreams and nightmares. MJ Moon walking on them white squares. I'm a boss, not a capo. Pussy nigga trying to call me
fuck them, then we drop them off in the muscle cars. Chrome wheels in the rally stripes. Third party conversations through them satellites. Little nigga got an appetite. We do them, man. We pray they mama have a get a life.
I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban. I just left Colombia. Now we get them in by the metric ton. I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban. I just left Colombia.
Rich gang.
Now we get them in by the metric ton.
I just left Colombia. Fly skinny ties, I ain't frontin' none. Bitch, they call me Birdman. Whip it from the kitchen to the curb, man.
You heard me,
Used to ride blocks on them back streets, dippin' through them back streets, travel with them, tell them peace,
tell them peace, tell them peace.
Kingpin lifestyle, million on the whip, 100 mil, 100 thou. 20 million on a new home. Line tap, got me hustling off a five phone. Gotta get it by all means. Put it down for my city from a triple beam.
I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban.
Young scooter.
I just left Colombia. Now we get them in by the metric ton. I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban. Columbia. Now we get them in by the metric ton.
I was jumping out of granite house, I broke a screen though. Rappers say they keep it, but ain't never seen though. Whipping dope in every bowl, you can't find a clean bowl. Long line full of fiends, Gucci need a green stove. Wanna visit Coca-Cola, come to Gucci Man Store. And I ain't
right,
never
yeah.
told a soul, why didn't need no snitch folks? All our people shot cool. the fun, I just sold a metric ton. I got 99 bricks and I still won't front you one. Walk.
Hop up out the airplane. Me and Heather got a meeting with the rich gang. Free my nigga Putin. So more dope than every rapper in the rap game. Really seen the truckloads. Came a long way from the country dirt road. I own Little Mexico. Pushing bricks from the east to the west coast. Summertime I'm charging 16. You got ugly bricks, you know my remix look clean. I'm BMG stamping everything. The streets mining, you will never see a drought again.
I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban. I just left Colombia. Now we get them in by the metric ton. I can make cocaine. I just fell in love with a Cuban. I just left Colombia. Now we get them in by the metric ton.
Alright, we back in the building, man. We back in the building. We back, man. So basically, man, what we're talking about, man, is these prisons. If you build it, they will come. Welcome to Jail 101. All right? So you will know, you know, say where I'm coming from with this, right? All right. Basically, man, it's just that it's about how many bonds you get. And you can invest into this, you know, building these cells. They say California is one of the richest states that has these jail cells that they building with. And it's so weird because the last clip I just played, which I want to re-air that clip. I mean, I want y'all to know I'm going to re-air clips throughout. You know, I might do it like every 2 minutes, every 3 minutes, because there's so many listeners be tuned in at different times. But the last clip was, they called this lady Dr. Death, because she'll invest into things that kill people. You know, like, for instance, smoke. You smoking, catching cancer. You know, she invests into those because it's a high rate for the population. And then she said, now she's in bonds and jails. They put everybody in the jail cell. Who win it?
it's just so crazy, man. And then you got it to where, you know, how they pass these bills in the House of Representatives, you know what I'm saying, that they make bills daily so that way you can go to jail. You know, or if you're not aware, I'm not going to say so you can't go to jail. If you're not aware of the law that they're changing, it's chances that what's going to happen. If you don't know, you're going to jail. So, I don't know. I'm going to let y'all be the judge. What I also do, I got another clip for y'all, man. I'm going to play, I'm just going to play another song, man. And then, you know, we'll come back in and we can get it out. You know, so big up to Jay-Z, man. You know, Jay-Z already came down here, man, and threw down, man. That's my big dude, man. So, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and play a Jay-Z song for you guys. And we will come back in and make it happen. Hi. And also, so I'm playing a new gun by Peso, man.
I got these niggas, Breezy. Don't worry about it. Let that bitch breathe. I used to give a fuck, now I give a fuck less. What do I think of success? It sucks, too much stress. I guess I blew up quick, cause friends I grew up with see me as a preemie, but I'm not, and my nuts big. I don't know what the fuss is, my career's illustrious. My rep is impeccable, I'm not to be fucked with shit. Let that bitch breathe. Hallelujah, huh?
trying to wipe me out of your history. Shit on me, these niggas trying to shit on me. I was left for dead, they try to wipe me out of their history.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
Hey, 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 hey. You. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Let's go. Peace.
What's up, people, man? It's your boy, Dennis Live. Hey, check it out, man. We just asking that you know, go download that mobile app. Go to Google Play Store. It's absolutely free. Key search westernworld1.com. It's WESTONWORLDONE. That's all you got to type in. It's free. And also, too, man, we added a new feature, man. It's the donation button. All we're doing is just asking you people, hey, you know, donate to us. We're going to take that, and we're going to put all proceeds towards Western World 1 Network to make it better, to make it easier for you guys to view us, listen to us online, and pretty much we're going to take this to YouTube so that way you can kind of see who we are and what we do and how we do and how we operate. Other than that, man, thank you so much for even just hitting that button and just clicking following us, hitting that button just to show that you do like on Facebook or even just Instagram. You're just pretty much just showing us, man, how much the growth that we have developed over the years. Actually, not years, months. We only been up not even 6 months, right? A little bit longer than 6 months, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, man, that's all we want you to do, man. Download that app, westernworld1.com. You can go there or Google Play Store, key search westernworld1, or you can follow us on here, man. Man, thank you so much, man. Again, all the donations that you do donate to us, you know, it will not go into shambles, man. We're going to take that and we're going to utilize that, man, to the best of our knowledge, man. As you can see, we had added three additions to the Western World 1 Network. We got Tiffany Thompson, what she's doing, the Spiritual Wednesdays, where she's going to take the Bible-based information, scriptures out of the Bible, and she's going to use it in our everyday lifestyle and things that we can do. Then you got Thursday with DJ Disco, one of the hottest pioneer DJs all over the world, man. I mean, this boy here, man, is just, man, phenomenal, man. This boy just get on that music, man, and play it like there's no other. Then you got Sundays with Charles Baxter, where he's talking about political things of whatever's happening up today. Self-help, motivation, what you can do with yourself, how you can implement things. I mean, we're just doing it all, man. You already liking us on Facebook. The fan base is tremendously growing. But all we have to ask for you to do now is to just donate to us. You know, you go there, hit the donation button. We go through PayPal. It's real simple, real easy. Just whatever you want to contribute to us, we take it and we utilize it. We put all the proceeds towards Western World 1 Network. Again, thank you so much, man. It's your boy, Dennis Live. Peace out.
And we back in the building, man. Hey, today, man, we're talking about our show today. It's called If You Build It, They Will Come. It's a Jill 101 in the Dennis Live Show. For the people that don't know what that means is that these jails, that they put your brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and aunties and nieces and best friends, man, they're getting money off of them, man. And how they get money off of them is called bonds. They get these bonds. And they put them together, and it's just so crazy how I myself was trying to figure out, like, man, what they doing? How they build these institutions and get this money off of us, and we not doing nothing. See what they doing, man? With the House of Representatives, man, what they do is they pass these bills, man, without you even knowing. You know, they have it to where jaywalking. You know, jaywalking is not really a crucial thing to us, but that they really want to get you for jaywalking again. They fine, you get your ticket or whatever, but you're still paying that money. And I noticed what the difference is between going to jail and the penitentiary is 1 year. If you have to do more than 1 year, they're going to send you to the penitentiary, depending on how many days after that 1 year. You know, 1 year and 1 day, you know, they might, you know, suggest keep you. And I think that's up to like 30 days. You can do like 1 year and 30 days in a county or correctional facility. But if you're doing anything like 2 years, 3 years, or whatever, you're going to the penitentiary. They're going to send you upstate. And that's how they make their money up off you. But anyway, man, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in my co-host. Where you at, man? Mr. LB, what's up, big guy?
What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, I was just telling the people, man, what's going on with how these jails are making money off of us, man. And I mean, today, man, ain't about a racist thing, even though they say it's more blacks or minorities in jail than anything, but I ain't going to make it a racist thing today. I'm just going to say it's a money thing. Everybody green now. How you feel about
it? It is a money thing, you know. How can, you know, they tell the people, in order to build this jail, you have to guarantee 85% population. They have to guarantee that jail will be filled with 85% population. Now, how can you guarantee that someone is going to be locked up?
Wow.
Because the politicians and lawmakers are locking people up on human errors.
Wow.
You're going to do things that is going to cause you to get locked up. And it doesn't have to be anything big. Unfortunately, the poor black and brown people are the ones that are disenfranchised, who cannot afford an adequate lawyer. Not a public pretender or a defender, an adequate lawyer. They can't afford that. So they know that at the end of the day, the public defender is going to help the state's attorney in getting a conviction, which will make you be incarcerated for XYZ years. Now, if I'm a felon, and if I just caught a felony for this, and I come out and I say, well, I want to turn my life over and do the right thing. Well, I start looking for a job, and then they turn around and tell me, well, you can't get this type of job because you have a felony in your background. Well, how am I supposed to do right if you always put me in a position in order to do wrong?
Oh, yeah, the strike system, huh?
Yep.
Yeah,
you have me in a position where I'm always doing wrong.
Wow.
So I can't do nothing but do wrong because I have to, first, number one, self-preservation, the first law of the land. I have to provide for myself. If a man's stomach is touching his back, what is he going to do?
Well, he's going to go out there and try to get what he began to eat.
Exactly.
Whatever he can, by all means necessary, man.
By any means necessary.
And you know I got this clip for you, man. I want you to really listen to this clip real quick, all right? And I need you to dissect it for me, okay? It's really important. I got two clips. Another one is like real lengthy, man, so I'm going to let you know when I'm going to play that one. But this clip right here, man, I want you to listen to it and listen to what's going on with it, all right? Because you hit all these keys and hit it dead on. But here you go, man. Let's go.
Costs for correctional facilities, or in other words, prisons, quadrupling in the past 20 years to $52 billion in the U.S. With taxpayers on the hook for much of that, is there a way you can actually make crime pay? Our next guest says, you bet. Reva Shakatai is Senior Vice President at RBC Wealth Management, and she joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Reva.
Thank you, Dennis.
So let's just go broad picture first. The U.S. is the most prison-prone country in the world, right? Tell us about that.
We have 2.3 million inmates.
in the state prison system, in the federal prison system, and in local jails. There is a difference between prison and jail.
Yes, it's a 1 year, but it doesn't matter. It's not the first. Louisiana, 1 in 86 people.
1 in 86, absolutely. If you look at the country as a whole, it's 1 in 104. But if you look at both parolees and probation in addition, it's 1 in 33 people who are in the state or federal prison system.
Right, and California has 7 times as many prisoners as Iran, the entire country does.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so there's clearly demand here. Now, most times when people think about trying to make money on prisons, they look at the publicly held prison, for-profit prison companies. You've got CXW and GEO. But you think those guys might be kind of played out. Why is that?
Well, the growth of those types of companies really happened post-9/11 when the U.S. Marshals Service and ICE, which is Immigration Customs Enforcement, got the contracts to detain immigrants. So 50% of all immigrant detainees are in the private prisons. They adopted the approach, if you build it, they will come. But there's a mismatch with the need. They have excess capacity, but it doesn't exactly fill the need of the public prison system.
Okay, but those aren't where they need to be. So if we get rid of CXW and GEO, instead, you like a couple of actual California state prison bonds. Tell us about those.
California operates just about the biggest prison system in the country. You have an occupancy rate of these prisons of 155%. The demand definitely outstrips the supply. So there's a segment of the fixed income market called lease revenue bonds. And this is a play on the municipal bond market. It's a more conservative approach to playing the prison market. A lease revenue bond that plays the prisons compared to a general obligation bond of the same maturity can yield 10 to 50% more.
A prison bond more than a regular government bond from a local government.
From a state government.
Right.
So from a California GO perspective. I'm not talking about jail bonds. Those are highly speculative, and that's where you hear about the defaults in the prison market.
I see. Now, in addition to California, are all state bonds kind of safe to look at for prison purposes? Do all state bonds pay higher than their regular general obligation bonds?
There's a couple of states that you can really look to, like California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Michigan. These are the biggest issuers of the lease revenue bonds that fund correctional facilities. So for an income-hungry investor that's looking for relative value, I think there's a huge opportunity in these bonds that are absolutely underfollowed by the market.
And they're tax-free as well,
they're
right?
They're tax-free income, absolutely.
Okay. And part of this plays into your theme. You know, your clients call you the grave dancer because you like to put money into things where the customer has little choice. You feel like cigarettes, people are addicted, gambling even has some addicts, and certainly in prison, the customers have no choice but to be customers, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other place to go. I think that the country will stop at nothing to protect public safety. So I think that the prison market's a great place to be.
So why not profit from it? All right. Thank you very much for being with us, Rava Shakatai. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Let's go. What do you think?
Man, I'm gonna say like this here, bro. Modern day slavery. Bottom line, you know, modern day slavery. You were the one who said that which amendment it was, the 5th, that it states that once you are incarcerated, you are a legal slave. Slave. So modern day slavery. I can make money off of a human being and be legal with it. Anytime I want something to be legal, all I got to do is write a piece of paper up. And it's legal.
Wow.
All I got to do is write a piece of paper up and now it's legal.
That's the 13th Amendment, man. And then you are a legal slave to the state. You are a slave to the correctional officers, the police officers, whatever it is. And then now it's a clause to where even when you do your time, you are still under the act in certain cases. You know, you're not like, man, I pay my dues to society without still bothering me. Because by you being on paper like that, they can do whatever they want. So who going to, if this is in your in the oath. Is never believe an inmate or a felon over a cop, period. Period. You got to really
have proof.
Now you got to have so much proof to show that, you know, that he not lying. Or you got to prove that they trying to really harass you. You can't do that. You out of there.
That's why when you're incarcerated, they always say you'll never be able to be the state safe. Because your word, when you're incarcerated, your word don't mean anything.
Right. You're a slave. What they tell you. Oh, okay, I got you. That's why they say the most money is made in the jails, too. You know, that's why it says a whole other world in jails. Because you think about it, the correctional officers, and I'm not saying all correctional officers,
no.
They got access to the world. So if I'm a person that's making all that money, I'm a cartel dude or whatever, I'm making all that dough, I ain't got to do nothing but say, look, man, I'll take care of your family. You know, I give your wife, kids, whatever, $6,000 a month. All I want you to do is keep bringing it in here because it's 10 times the cost in jail than it is outside. So you got more easier access to it when you're outside. But when you're in jail, just for some toothpaste, you're paying about $10 for it.
Hello?
So they're killing the game. Yeah, they're killing the game.
Yeah, they're killing the game. Yes, they are.
Literally.
Yeah.
And then did you hear about the bonds? The bonds. They got bonds. They got bonds that they are tax-free, that are better than the government bonds, the state bonds. If you invest into a bond for the jails, that way you don't have to pay taxes on it, and it's all tax-free money that you're getting on this. So, you know, he called her the lady of death of finances because she invests into cigarettes. She know that a cigarette kills. She going to invest into them bonds on them cigarettes because she knows she's going to make money because even though they know it's going to kill you, they still do it. Liquor. She got bonds on liquor. I mean, she's in the right position, but I hate to say it. She's in the right position. And they got it to where I just want the people just to wake up on it, is that now y'all think that you're just going to jail just to be going to jail. No, dog, you're going to jail like there's your money's ticket now. Your meal ticket. Man, this next clip that I want to play for you, brother, is going to break it all down. It's a lengthy clip. It's about 8 minutes. I'm not going to play it that long, right? But it's real interesting.
Okay. Right?
And I want you to give me your input on this, too, man. Please. Just give me some, look, something. We're going to cut the show short a little bit today. We're going to go to the full ride out. We're going to cut it a little bit short today. We're just going to go in and do some things and get straight to the point for the people that know, you know what I'm saying, that did this live show. You know how we get it, me and Charles. You Charles today or you LB today? Which one you is today?
I'm Earl today.
Me, Earl.
I'm Earl today. Earl the banking man. I understand how all these people out here are doing. I was incarcerated for 32 years. I'm Earl the maintenance man.
We got Afro Earl on the live, man. All right, well, tell me. Hey, man, it's a lengthy clip, but I'm going to stop it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and we're going to make some key points on it, man.
That's what's up.
All right, let's go.
All right.
It's a job. It's a professional job. It's public safety at its best. The toughest beat in law enforcement, but it should not be made into commerce.
Buffy McFadden knows about prisons. She has 12 of them in the district she represents in the Colorado legislature. They range from the state penitentiary to the notorious federal supermax.
There's a veil of secrecy that comes to prisons because we don't want to talk about it. And we need to start talking about it.
She's also the most outspoken critic of private prisons in the state. We sat down with her during a recess in the House chamber to find out why.
It's just plain and simple. Philosophically, this is wrong. As long as you put money on bodies in a cell, you pay stockholders for those bodies in a cell, we will never see a reduction in our prison populations in this country. And in Colorado, where we've doubled our prison population in less than 10 years, it's despicable.
Critics say the whole issue with you, Buffy, is that you're just a lie.
to the unions that protect these workers that work in the state facilities?
Oh, I'm arm in arm with the American Federation of Government Employees. We really don't have a big union in the state as far as state employees in the prisons. I'm locked arm in arm. The irony for me that the unions at the federal facilities are almost 70% Republican. They're retired military. Their civilian job is working for the Bureau of Prisons. So they're stuck with a Democrat woman named Buffy, and they probably, a lot of them have never liked a Democrat before.
This year, the Colorado legislature is grappling with a dilemma. If the prison population continues to expand, the state will need another 4,600 prison beds by the year 2011. Unless something is done to reduce the growth rate, taxpayers will have to spend $800 million to build more prisons or turn to private contractors.
I don't want to keep filling our prisons. I don't want to keep building prisons, because every dollar I have to put into a prison takes away from my infrastructure on my roads, takes away from my infrastructure building new buildings on college campuses, takes away insuring the people of Colorado, and it's the same at the federal level.
Colorado's cash crunch has finally forced lawmakers to look at the causes of its prison crisis. Last year, the governor convened a criminal justice commission to review sentencing laws and parole policies that contribute to the state's dismal 50% recidivism rate. Meanwhile, private prison companies have their own priorities to pursue. They want to keep their beds filled with paying customers. One way is by shipping prisoners from state to state. In 2006, that policy became a matter of life and death for Glenn Hoffman when he and eventually 479 other Colorado inmates were transferred from the Buena Vista State Prison in Colorado to a private prison in Oklahoma owned by the Corrections Corporation.
He had been told he wasn't going to move because he got visits and because he had a job and he hadn't had any problems and he was doing well. And then all of a sudden they came around and threw a couple of bags into him and said, pack up, you're going.
Colorado officials told us that prisoners like Hoffman are just the kind of low-maintenance, low-cost inmates that private prisons are looking for. Even though Hoffman was serving time for assaulting his girlfriend while high on meth, he was a well-behaved prisoner and strong enough to win a prison weightlifting contest.
On one of the last times that he lifted at Buena Vista, that he had been lifting, and he said, Mom, there just felt like I tweaked a muscle or something.
The pain was actually early signs of bone cancer. And according to Hoffman in his home video from his Denver hospital room, the medical staff at the Corrections Corporation facility in Oklahoma ignored his constant requests for advanced treatment.
We'll be back, man. Think about that, bro.
Man, bro, listen here.
If you watch the movie Shawshank Redemption, when you watch Shawshank Redemption, you seen the segment in Shawshank Redemption, the guy came over there and he was like, clean, you know,
yeah.
You can't keep I'm doing gone. This. You know, you're going to run my business. You're going to run my people, you know. I got to lay off XYZ people, so on and so forth. You can't keep doing this. You just can't keep doing this. I'm going to lose my, you know, workers and lay people off. I got families to provide and feed, so on and so forth. It's the same thing, you know. Cheap labor. Cheap labor, and America is trying to sustain itself with its own people, and that's with slavery. We went over there when we annihilated all of our competition in World War II. We didn't have the need for a prison system because we controlled the world, but we have no more control. Our finances have ran out. We have, even though we have allies. Our allies don't even really want to be our allies as much anymore unless the finances are involved in it. So, which makes us further in debt. So how can America sustain itself America can only sustain itself by enslaving its own kind, which makes the rich get rich and the poor stay poor. The have and the have not. That's what this is all about.
So
the have and the have not.
When you go to the half and half not, man, what's crazy about it is now, you know how they muscle out of the United States now? They tell them, we don't want your currency no more. We want gold. The United States ain't got all that gold no more. So now it's kind of like eliminating us on things because we don't have the gold like we used to. Why do you think all these gold and silver commercials are starting to pop up now? Yeah, we buy gold,
yep.
We buy silver, we buy gold, we buy silver, we buy this, we do this, we do this. And you're like, man, why is it, you know, why is it doing this now? Because now the United Nations is not looking at, you know, the money no more. Just in the UK alone, a pound is worth $1.60 to a dollar of the United States. So they got 60 cents more of a value than they do over just a regular dollar bill. Yeah, the currency looks good. You know, the only reason why the currency keeps looking good and better is because they stopping the counterfeiters from trying to counterfeit the dollar. That's why they keep trying to burn the money every year. But the money, it travels around the world so much that you got to wait like 10, 20, 30 years in order to even burn old money for it to come back. And sometimes you can't even burn that old money because then it turns into an antique. Somebody could just be sitting on money. Then all of a sudden decide to want to go and start selling and buying. You know what I'm saying? It's just, see, people, man, don't understand, man. They just look at the dollar bill as, oh, man, $100 bill. It look pretty now. Man, they add a yellow and orange to it. No, they're stopping the counterfeiters from trying to counterfeit that money. But it really don't have nothing. It ain't nothing but some worthless, what's called it, man? One thing that my cousin said to me, he said, man, if you want $1 million and if the money depreciates, guess what it's called then? You know what it's called?
What's it called?
You got 1 million pieces of toilet tissue.
Yeah, that's
all you can do with it. Ain't nothing but coupons, man. They came up with currencies in the '40s, man, to try to find out a way to transfer. Because you got to think about it, we was doing salt. We was giving pillars of salt. You know what I'm saying, for wood or whatever, or, you know, that fair exchange is no robbery, meaning if I come and, you know, clean your house, you can paint my fence. You know what I mean? So we was doing that back in them days. So now they came with these coupons. See, then they put a serial number on it. When they put a serial number on it, guess what? It's traceable. That's where it comes from. That's why we numbers. Everything is numbers, man. Everything is numbers. Everything. I can say, okay, yeah, I know who Charles Baxter is. I know who LB is. But if I describe you to somebody in another world, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, what's his Social Security number? Let me run his credit. Let me see who he is. And once they run your credit and see who you are, they know everything about you more than I would never have known.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crazy, man. And them inmates, man, they said it right here, but we'll get back to the show a little bit. Then, man, we're talking about if you build it, they will come. Welcome to Jail 101 on the Dennis Live Show. My co-host, LB, Earl. Yeah, man. They got private correctional owners, man. Private owners, man, with these cells, man. So whereas, let's say, for instance, let's say they overlap some of these beds, and they say, man, we got to let these guys go because they're on house arrest, you know, put them on house arrest because the county is overcrowded. See, they're misdemeanor crimes, you know what I'm saying, or you know, class
right.
1 or AB, you know what I'm saying. That's only because they're not doing no more than maybe 15 months or a year, you know what I'm saying, like 30 days or something like that in the county. But if they're doing like 2-year bids, 3-year bids, oh, they're gone. They're not going to just send you to like state bills or Vienna, they're going to see you somewhere, you know, far down. If private-owned correctional facility get a hold of you, they might say, okay, well, we only got 1,000 beds, but we need 10,000 beds filled up by 2013. So any inmate that needs to go in this past 3 years, 4 years, we're going to send them here so they can start making money down there. Man, come on, man. We in the wrong field, brother. We in the wrong field. We in the wrong field because we're picking this cotton. Man, we need to be on the court.
Man, listen. I need to build me a penitentiary, a small penitentiary to start off in my backyard. I need to start a small penitentiary in my backyard. I tell them I got 15 beds over here.
Man, tell me about it, man. Just to imagine it, man. Now the reality is here, man. So, the people wanted to know. The reality is here.
Yeah, the people. Well, you know, the thing about it is this though. I'm trying to figure out when is the system going to, this so-called democracy system, when is it going to fail itself? Because nothing is foolproof. You know, I can't understand here, you know, and it's the field Negro, house Negro, slave master syndrome. How is it that you got one man controlling 80 people on a tier? You lifting weights, you doing everything. You can beat up about 6-7 guys at one time, and here you got one God controlling 80 people, and ain't nobody moving against the God.
Wow.
No. You know, you are just, I mean, the system, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can't get mad at it. Oh, my bad for turning this a little bit too loud. You can't get mad at the system because we not only did we allow it, but it's here already. You see what I'm saying? It's here already. So it's like it ain't even about us allowing anything. It's here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what can you say? What can you do? How can you stop?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was having this conversation in the nail shop, and with some ladies, and I know it sounds crazy, you know, but I was having this conversation in the nail shop, and the system will never let any other entity get bigger than the system it is. Will never let any other entity get bigger than the system is here. That means the system has been put in place and it's so well oiled, it tosses up red flags when something tries to get bigger than itself. So even though it's flaws in the system, somebody out there correcting those flaws as they find the flaw to make this machine run so perfect, even though it's man-made, they're learning from the past, they're learning from the present, and they're also learning from the future because they're predicting what's going to happen in the future by putting certain things in place today. So they're correcting whatever flaws that may come to make it a system bigger than itself.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, here in the United States, the only snag that they see in the system in itself is how do we, and where that comes in, that the snag comes in as because of religion. That is a snag.
Wow.
But the matter is, Christianity is the smallest form of religion throughout the world.
Right. It's considered a business.
The Muslims is the largest religion in the world. Throw Christians under the bus for the lack thereof of their faith. I myself personally do not want to be called a Christian. I would rather say I'm a man of God or that's a woman of God.
I do not belong to that organization. I have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, all other religions throughout the world try to say the same thing. Muhammad is not up there with God. He's just a prophet. God is who he is. He's the beginning, all, and end all of everything.
Well, you know, with me, man, I'd be a Christian, you know what I'm saying, all day, man. So, you know, Christian means nothing but a follower in Christ, man. That's all it really is. You know, these people have, you know, made it to, the Pharisees and Sadducees have made it until the way that it is with the money, man. They took it and they said a man, only thing a man can do to God is rob him from all. A man can only rob God from his tithes and profits of offerings. You know what I'm saying?
That's all you do.
And my thing is, if it's being allowed, you know, he's gonna show it, or he's gonna expose you sooner or later. He exposed Pray for a Dollar. He exposed Eddie Long. He exposed, you know what I'm saying? He's gonna expose you sooner or later down the line. All these people that's making that money. You know, he's doing that. So, you know, when it comes to that, man, I mean, there's nothing that you can really say do about that. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this question. Through this exposure, do you think that the system will collapse eventually?
Do I think it's going to collapse with the exposure?
But surely, being, you know, like the wound is opening up about these penitentiaries and so on and so forth, do you think the system that has been put in place will collapse?
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, it all depends, man. Who's got that muddy dollar? Who's running it at that time? You know what I mean? It's hard to say because I don't see the blueprints. You know, so all I'm doing is going off of, you know, saying certain clips or whatever, or going off of certain things. So I can't really give my personal opinion off of that. But I mean, but just from what I see. No, they're going to keep it going, you know, as much as they can. If it's money involved, guess what? They're going to do it all. It's nothing to it, point blank. Wait a minute. LB, I got a caller, man. I'm bringing this call in. What's going on, caller? You on the air. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm great. You?
I was listening to your other caller making reference about God. I was going to ask, which God? You know, there's many gods, always have been. There's no one ethnic group had a soul lockdown on who's God and who ain't. And as far as the system in the United States, I think the problem here with this system is that stuff just costs too much. It can't compete with the world with the prices that you pay for. You know, you got people that's working minimum wage jobs, want minimum wage to go up to $15 an hour. Well, might as well take it to $100, wouldn't you say?
Oh, wow. Right. I understand.
Well, to answer your first question, what God I'm speaking about is the Almighty God. There's only one God, whether you want to call him Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him, it's only one God. Now, if you decide to worship another form of God, which may be money, which may be sex, which may be whatever, that may be another form of God, but it's not the God. That's not the Most High. We have to talk about the Most High. Now, if you want something else, there's nothing. You go pick that other God and see how that works out for you. It may work for you. You know what I'm saying? It don't work for me, but it may work for you. You know what I'm saying? It's a temporary fix in my book, but it may be a permanent fix in your book.
I've heard people use that. I mean, who said the guy was Most High? Man said that. Men created God throughout the history, chronological history of the world. And if that's what you want to believe, that's perfectly fine. I hear some black Hebrew rhythms saying that.
You don't believe in God?
Absolutely not. What do I need that for?
Okay, well, carry on. I want to hear your point. Go ahead. Your point that you're making.
Well, I made my point. I don't need no God. Don't need no Jesus. I mean, but if people, you know, here in the United States, you are guaranteed by the United States Constitution, which is the most powerful law of the land, you have a right to your belief. But the government can,
okay,
dictate how you go about carrying that belief out, though.
No, I'm not here to persuade your belief either, brother. I hope you believe in whatever you believe in. I hope you keep on believing that. I promise you I do. I promise you I do. I want you to believe in whatever you believe in, keep believing that. I'm not here to deter that. All I'm saying is that it is a system. There is a system. Now, what system you decide to serve, that's completely upon you. But I know one thing, I know myself personally, when that fire's on your ass and there's no way out, you on the 37th floor, and you jump out that window, I hear a lot of people holler, oh, God. I don't know what God you hollering for, but I hear a lot of people hollering, oh, God. I just felt that myself.
Yeah,
I don't know when you inside that, I don't, people. Myself personally, when I'm inside that good old, I can say this on the internet radio, that good old pussy, you know, you might be a fag, I don't know, you might lap in, you might be in some ass, and you holler, you get that good old neck, you be like, oh God, oh Jesus, you gonna call out somebody name, I just know that. I've never called my own name. That's so vain. Be like, when I'm inside, I want to be like, oh, Charles. Oh, Charles, you know. Charles, oh, LB. Oh, LB. Goodness, Lord. Yeah, and you see, just like that, I said, oh, goodness, Lord. I slip up and just call his name. You're going to call his name. But, hey, at the end of the day, I'm not here to persuade your belief. We're talking about a system. And the system at hand here, there are a lot of people out here who are profiting off of us, the poor and disenfranchised, the unaware. They are making a profit off of us, human slavery, in modern-day times. That's the bottom line.
Who is the us you're talking about?
Us.
Us who?
Because they're making a profit off of you, too, because you're the one paying the taxes, correct? You're sustaining the system. You're helping the system. As you pay taxes, you're helping sustain the system.
As was brought out in the last presidential debate between Obama and Romney, the 1% do pay more taxes than anybody else in the country.
Hey, they say you're gonna pay to learn, you know, regardless of whatever it is. I'm sorry, I want to cut either one of you brothers off. I just wanted to kind of get in a little bit. That 1%, yeah, they're going to pay to learn. And if you already noticed, too, what got Obama over by skin of teeth, hair, skin of teeth, they said that, the Latino community, all of a sudden, is coming in. And to me, with that, when they say Latino community is coming in, because they come with that immigration, them immigrants, okay, they know these immigrants are making money over here. They've been over here doing it, so why we can't make some money off of them? And so, you know, they're going to say, okay, well, all right, we're going to give you the temporary green card, you know. It's going to stop turning to, okay, we're going to give you immigrational money to come over here and do these businesses where, okay, how bad do you really want to come over here? Okay, they're making this money, okay, we'll pay them, XYZ amount of dollars to keep it under minimum wage, or B, if you want your family over here, you're sending all that money back home, you pay us $2,000. You pay us $1,000. I'm just throwing a figure out there, and this is just my personal opinion from what I'm gathering. That is, if you notice on the television, when they start saying something just a little bit, and then it starts carrying on, and then it turns into a wildfire, and then that's, boom. Oh, man, guess what? This bill don't pass. You're like, oh, man, how did this bill pass? That's crazy, but that's a different topic. To me it's like, okay, whoever God you believe in, that's cool. Whatever God you believe in, that's cool. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Christ, okay, that's cool, that's fine. I mean, that's not me to judge you. And if you do believe in God, you do believe in Christ, okay, that's cool. That's not for me to judge you. Today's show is really about if you build it, they will come. Welcome to Jail 101. And basically, I just wanted to just get y'all input on that. I don't know, brother. What's her name, brother?
My name's Pianchi. But you know, you're right. You have to relate. You're talking about the last election, where you got illegal immigrants here in the United States that's trying to become legal, and look like Obama is the one that they can achieve that goal with. I see where he ordered the Justice Department, and he retracted on his statement. He ordered the Justice Department to recognize same-sex marriage in Utah, even though the state doesn't. Now, that there is totally crazy. Totally crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely understand. I mean, and then that's what you could go off of both of y'all beliefs on that, too. I mean, you know, he said he's a God-fearing man, whatever. Then all of a sudden he has to leave his church because of the pastor made out that, you know, whatever he said about it, just to get his exposure out there. So they made him leave. He had to figure out a way to leave his church anyway. I mean, sometimes people do get up and just walk away, but they would have wanted to know, because he's the president, why would you do it? So that reason, when he got exposed, that's how that went about. Now, okay, now you got it to where it's with the immigrants and how it's being read and how it's being met and how they trying to get this money. It's, I'm not even going to say the word trying no more, that they are going to get this money. You know, a lot of people don't believe into the skulls and bones. I believe in that. I mean, 100%, because I've been seeing it for the longest. Even though they say, Geographic Channel, Discovery Channel now, that's what they call it now?
Discovery Channel, yeah.
They only tell you so much, but you got to read between the lines. That's why they say, man, the truth is always in your face. You just got to know what to read, and you got to know what to look for. And I'm not just saying for signs or anything like that. It's just that, man, and you know what the truth is? The truth is common sense. Common sense. If you have patience and common sense, you're going to see it already, because something's going to automatically say, man, this don't feel right. Something ain't right about this.
Dennis, but understand one thing. Everything that is common does not make sense, because it doesn't come common to everybody. Everybody is not looking at the same plane. What's common, what makes common sense to you and I may not make common sense to that next person. Because they can't add that far up. Their whole life and existence on this earth has not been planned to think of the next five moves ahead. That's common sense for you and I. Where are we going to be at tomorrow? So let's plan our seeds today. But at the end of the day, that's not everybody's life is not built upon that. So that's where these type of shows have to plant those seeds to get you to thinking. So everybody can be playing on the same playing field.
Well, you know, Skull and Bones, Crips and Bloods, Bonnie and Clyde, you know, any organization, any groups of people usually try to come together with like mind self. And once they come together, they call it some sort of, put some name to it, form an organization. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, at the end of the day, when the organization is put out there to enslave another group of people, that's where, you know, I think mankind is finding the problem at, and that's what we're talking about with the past racism as far as the enslavement of mankind. There are a lot of men out here, men and women, who are poor, black, and disenfranchised, who are being enslaved by these organizations. These organizations, which are the control financial institutions, which control the whole country. You know?
Yeah, organizations like the NAACP and Urban League.
Oh, wow. You you took the words out of my mouth. I got cursed out. Well, not really cursed out, but I got said by an elder, elder man. He was one of the guys that walked with Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King, and all. He's still alive today, but he was just more so in the back of the crowd. And when I started talking about the NAACP and all this stuff, whatever, he said, "Man, them are nothing." But I'm not trying to throw oil on their fire or none of that, milk or none of that on their honey or none of that. All I'm just saying is, he said that they are nothing but money hungry organizations If it's something got to do with a black person being in a crisis, then they want to be there so they can get that, what they call donations off of it, the funding off of it. So that way, what they say, that little kid can't.
That's what you call Negro hush money.
That's what it is.
Negro hush money, huh?
Hey,
exactly.
And I make sure I don't, you know, I try not to talk about it or try to entertain it. I only entertain what I know. You know, I'm not going to entertain, and even the stuff that I don't know, I don't always know, because somebody like you will come on the show, somebody like LB will come on the show, and will enlighten me on something else. So that's why I say, man, you know what, I keep my mind open on everything, even though it could say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, but then say, okay, man, but you didn't see that hidden 3 right there. Okay, now it's 7, you know, so it's like, okay, what do I do? On this level, okay, let me go back and do what we need to do. Reading is fundamental. Let's start digging a little bit more. You know, everything is in the library. They be lying. Whatever's buried in there is lie. You know, you got to go see what it is so that way you can go off of it. But you got to look at the people that's growing up off of this. This is what we grew up off of. Like you said, okay, you don't believe in God. He believes in God. I grew up off of God, you know. I didn't accept him until, you know, I got older, and I started understanding what it is, what I need to do, whatever it is. I just think anything that you do, whatever whatever your religion is, whatever your spiritual realm is, whatever you got belief in, no, just positive. You ain't trying to kill nobody. I don't see nothing wrong with it. But if you're trying to kill somebody, you know, you know your thing. You know, I don't think you should.
Exactly.
You know,
and what did the religious zealots talk about? Dying and going to heaven.
Look, hey, let me play this clip, man. You is not lying. Hey, I'm going to play this clip. It's back to the show, guys. We're not going to be on too much longer, but it's called If You Build It, They Will Come. Welcome to Jail 101. I played this clip earlier, so I'm going to play this, and I want y'all both to listen to it. Dissect it down for me and let me know what y'all think about it. You know, share your input on it. Okay, fellas?
Okay.
Here we go.
Costs for correctional facilities, or in other words, prisons, quadrupling in the past 20 years to $52 billion in the U.S. With taxpayers on the hook for much of that, is there a way you can actually make crime pay? Our next guest says, you bet. Reva Shakatai is Senior Vice President at RBC Wealth Management, and she joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Reva.
Thank you, Dennis.
So let's just go broad picture first. The U.S. is the most prison-prone country in the world, right? Tell us about that.
We have 2.3 million inmates in the state prison system, in the federal prison system, and in local jails. There is a difference between prison and jail.
Yes, it's a 1 year, but it doesn't matter. It's not diverse. Louisiana, 1 in 86 people.
1 in 86, absolutely. If you look at the country as a whole, it's 1 in 104. But if you look at both parolees and probation in addition, it's 1 in 33 people who are in the state or federal prison system.
Right, and California has 7 times as many prisoners as Iran, the entire country does.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so there's clearly demand here. Now, most times when people think about trying to make money on prisons, they look at the publicly held prison, for-profit prison companies. You've got CXW and GEO. But you think those guys might be kind of played out. Why is that?
Well, the growth of those types of companies really happened post-9/11 when the U.S. Marshals Service and ICE, which is Immigration Custom Enforcement, got the contracts to detain immigrants. So 50% of all immigrant detainees are in the private prisons. They adopted the approach, if you build it, they will come. But there's a mismatch with the need. They have excess capacity, but it doesn't exactly fill the need of the public prison system.
Okay, the beds aren't where they need to be. So if we get rid of CXW and GEO, instead, you like a couple of actual California state prison bonds. Tell us about those.
California operates just about the biggest prison system in the country. You have an occupancy rate of these prisons of 155%. The demand definitely outstrips the supply. So there's a segment of the fixed income market called lease revenue bonds. And this is a play on the municipal bond market. It's a more conservative approach to playing the prison market. A lease revenue bond that plays the prisons compared to a general obligation bond of the same maturity can yield 10 to 50% more.
A prison bond more than a regular government bond from a local government.
From a state government.
Right.
So from a California GO perspective. I'm not talking about jail bonds. Those are highly speculative, and that's where you hear about the defaults in the prison market.
I see. Now, in addition to California, are all state bonds kind of safe to look at for prison purposes? Do all state bonds pay higher than their regular general obligation bonds?
There's a couple of states that you can really look to, like California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Michigan. These are the biggest issuers of the lease revenue bonds that fund correctional facilities. So for an income-hungry investor that's looking for relative value, I think there's a huge opportunity in these bonds that are absolutely underfollowed by the market.
And they're tax-free as well, right?
They're tax-free income, absolutely.
Okay. And part of this plays into your theme. You know, your clients call you the grave dancer because you like to put money into things where the customer has little choice. You feel like cigarettes, people are addicted, gambling even has some addicts, and certainly in prison the customers have no choice but to be customers, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other place to go. I think that the country will stop at nothing to protect public safety. So I think that the prison market's a great place to be.
So why not profit from it? All right. Thank you very much for being with us, Rava Shakatai. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Wow. They called it a grave dancer. And then it turned around and said they're not going to stop by nothing to, you know, create public safety. And then if you notice, man, in the beginning, she threw a number out there, man. That was a number. She said 2 point something million. It's way more than that, you know. And to me, it's like when it goes over a certain amount, you can't – okay, it's like, okay, like this. You know what, at a Jewel's or, you know, at a grocery store, you know that on a shelf, they could count how many is on that shelf. It's going to take a group of managers to come together and all put in one currency or one number. Not currency, I take that back. It's going to take a group of management, whoever the store managers or whatever, from all over the states. They got to put it into the system. And once they put it into the system, that's how much you come out with. And they got to round it off because everybody can't count. So when you look at that situation...
The number they sold plus the number that's still in the inventory should be the number that they initially bought. But in certain neighborhoods, that don't work out that way.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you know what, man? I'm going to tell you something. Everybody, and black folks get pissed off when you say this, but you just tell them the truth. Everybody make money off of black people. And it's just totally ridiculous.
And you are telling 100% the truth. Every nationality on the face of this earth make money off of blacks because we are the biggest shoppers in the world. We are the biggest shoppers in the world.
They make money off of kids in prisons, police,
hey, listen,
the police, white police officers work in the city. They send our kids back out to the prisons that's located in the suburbs where they... fathers and mothers, uncles and aunts and sisters and brothers are working in the prison system. Everybody make money off of us. And that's where you get back to them crazy-ass organizations. Why don't they build them prisons in the city so you can put black folks to work since they kids up in them?
Come on with it. Do you think that it would probably be that if they know that they child is dead? I'm watching this movie. Well, not a movie. What y'all call that, Scandal? That's when the ladies watching this thing. Now, it was something that was on there that said that he told his daughter to lie and say this, to go in front of the public and say this, and if you don't say this, I'm gonna despise you as my child. But we could say it's a good to whatever the case may be. So what they do is in the politics, man, they look at it as to me, again, my personal opinion, that you taking my fame, you taking my status, you taking my power. If we find out, okay, well, yeah, Dennis Weston got, two kids that's already in jail, one for attempted murder, and one for, money laundering. That's his seed. So what that make Dennis? You know, we're going to put that person in that position of power. He's the board of trustees of the bank. So do you think that, you know, how would I call that? What they say, one apple from the tree, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Do you think that's how it would be looked at or portrayed as when it comes down to that? Oh no.
I say this, Dennis, and I say this as far as when it comes down to us. At the end of the day, it's called population control. It's to be able to control us as a population.
So it keeps us unbalanced. The prison system keeps us unbalanced. Drugs and diseases in the black community keeps us unbalanced. Us financially being unaware of what to do with our money keeps us unbalanced. Being uneducated keeps us unbalanced. So if I keep you off your toes, it's like Ali, you know, not knowing that, you know, when he was fighting George Foreman. George Foreman didn't know he was tiring himself out. We are tired. We don't know which way to go. How do we go? And the ones who do make money, the ones who are educated, I give you enough money to hush you the fuck up. Because now you don't know what to do with your money because you're uneducated.
Well, you know what the best, you're absolutely right, but you know what the best population control that has been in our community amongst blacks in America?
What is
that? Dreaded abortions.
Oh, yeah.
Black women aborted in 30 years over 18 million. Do you hear me? That's more than half the damn population.
It's like one out of every household, right? Almost
18 million aborted.
Okay, I give you that. I give you that. I'm gonna definitely give you that. But where does that come from? That comes from a lack of intelligence, unaware. For me to sit up here and put the field Negro against the house Negro. When you watch that movie 12 Years a Slave, and you watch it, if you really pay attention to everything that happened in 12 Years of Slave, it's the same damn thing that's going on today. It's no different. If you watch 12 Years of Slave, you see the same thing that's going on today. Are there free Negroes out here? Yes, there are free Negroes. But they are unaware.
You know what stood out in that movie the most? You remember the one lady, slave Patsy?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
They paid $600 for her master. And she picked 502 pounds of cotton a day.
Yep.
Now check this out. And the average was what, 200 pounds? Because they beat,
right, 200 pounds.
They beat Solomon's butt because he only picked like 178 or something. But check this out.
180 something. He didn't even make the 200 mark.
But check this out. When, during the Civil War, when Jefferson Davis, who was the leader of the Confederacy, he wanted to get Britain involved on the side of the Confederates.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? He burned 12 million bales of cotton, and it caused a panic, and it caused the price of cotton to go up to $1.89 a pound. Now, how much money was Patsy bringing a day at $1.89 a pound? How much was she bringing a year? She was bringing over $300,000 a year just with her picking cotton. And she only cost $600.
Look at that. $600.
Go ahead.
Wait, go ahead.
Yeah, that was it. And even if they was picking the average, that was what, almost $380 a day? And Solomon cost $1,200, so within a week or so, he don't paid himself off, but that's fool. He was locked. He was enslaved for years. So they made all kind of money off of slaves, man.
Yeah. And they still making money off of us. They're still making money off of us. The only thing about it now is they're able to get other nationalities in are making money off of us as well. Not just the white man, but every nationality is able to make money off of us. I said earlier in the conversation, I went to the nail shop. Majority of the nail shop is run by the Koreans. Now, my thing is, if we like to be beautified so much, how the hell we don't have no darn nail shop?
That's right. We ought to have some.
We like to stay beautiful. And you mean to tell me no, and nobody wants to go to school to learn how to do nails? You mean to tell me we can't have enough sense to band together to say, hold on, you ain't going to come in our goddamn neighborhood?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me the Arabs, there's Arabs
that got more gas stations than a little bit in the black neighborhood. And if they're not able to keep the gas in the damn neighborhood, what do? They turn around. If they're not able to keep the gas in the neighborhood, they still keep the damn store open. They don't sell no gas, but the store open. And they're not selling name brand products. They're selling you bootleg products. And you too ignorant to even know. Johnson baby powder, Johnson baby lotion. I went and bought Johnson's baby lotion out of an Arab gas station. It didn't even have the seal on the darn thing. The oil.
It might have been water.
The oil wasn't even the right amount of oil in there.
Well, I tell you. Well, see, hang on, man. This is where we got to do something, man. You believing in the Most High and me not believing in nobody, we still got to come together to work to change this around.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, you know, is to make mankind better. You know, I don't care less what you believe as far as within your spiritual background, but what can you change the element of why you here on this earth?
When we come to have our meeting, I always say, look, check your guns and your religion at the door. Come on in and sit down. Let's talk some business.
Wait. Hey, look. That's so crazy because that's what they do right now, corporate America. You can't talk about religion. You can't talk about politics. You can't talk about nothing. They got something to do with something where it can make you think. Only thing you want to do is just think about what we're focusing on. How to make this, you know, this money on this job. How you going to make my money work? How you going to make it grow? Because once you start talking about beliefs, I might be sitting next to a Muslim. I'm a Christian.
I'm going to give you one better than that. Now, when you go to court, do they say in God we trust in court? Do they, when you put your right hand on the Bible and say, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They used to say, so help me God. They don't even do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they just take the hand on the Bible. Yeah, they try to take God out of everything.
No, they tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's it.
Wow.
So that means, really, my word doesn't even mean anything because I can go right in here and lie. The only way they can catch you up is from what you said and what you contradicting what you said. That's the only way they can do that. And they play it back through the court stenographer. Well, you just said this, that, and the other. Well, I had a court stenographer repeat what you just said, and she'll call out and say, well, he said, he said the sky was green blue, and now he's saying that the sky was a gray blue. And that's how they catch you up. And then they'd be like, well, which one is it? Well, your word is no good now because you don't know which one it is.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, man, your lawyer prep you before you even go in there if you get a lawyer. My lawyer told me, he said, hey, if you don't know it, say you don't know it because that way you can't be penalized for something that you do not know. Even if they're trying to get you, he don't say plead the Fifth Amendment, just say you don't know it. Or can you repeat that question for me or can you explain it to me as if I was an infant so that way I can really understand. What are you saying to me? Sometimes that really frustrates the prosecutor, the public defenders, or on the defense team. You know, it deters them because now they try to trick you up. You know, they might say, okay, all right, hey, check this out. You said that you was riding down the street on a bicycle. Did your bikes, you know, did it have mags on it or did it have spokes on it? It was like it had spokes. And then they said later on again, okay, yeah, you said that the lady was crossing the streets while you was on your speed with the mags on them, correct? And you like, yeah. Okay, well, you did say spokes earlier, so, yeah, which one will it be or whatever. You could still go back and say, hey, I didn't understand the question. So repeat that question to me. Then they got to strike it, you know what I'm saying, before they even, you know, they can't use. When you say strike, they can't use it against you. Even if they do try to incriminate you on it, they can't use it against you. You know, think about it, man. The whole system is a game, period. It's like playing Monopoly, okay? The owner of Monopoly would know, okay, how to roll these dices and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, how I'm going to win Boardwalk across this. Now, even with the court systems, I don't care what kind of judge or, well, no, I can't say that. It depends on what judge you get and what lawyer went to lunch with them. That's the only way you're going to be able to beat. If that judge says, oh, well, I had lunch with them, or that lawyer says, I had lunch with them today. Oh, man, we should have this. That's because they're a good friend. Now, if you got a lawyer that's just coming in the game, you know, just strictly by the books, you know, straight, you know, by the code, or whatever the case may be, they call them the ignorant ones, because now you're not within the politics of it no more. You're straight by the books. So we're going to outcast you, because not only that you're going to expose me, but you're going to try to expose the system, and the judge is going to weigh you real quick, because they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, Joe, you're telling on both defense. You know, you're giving up all the answers. You're giving up all of it. That's why you got to have an oath. And you go before that blind lady. That's why they have that blindfold on that lady, because she don't see nothing but the justice, but the truth. That's it. Whatever it is, if it's a lie or if it's truth, all we see is justice. That's it. I don't see nothing else. That's why she had that blindfold over her eyes. I don't see no human beings in here. All I see is what's the truth, what's the justice, who's going to jail, who's not going to jail, what we're going to do here. That's it. I don't care about if, you know, how was church? Did y'all eat some chicken? Or, you know, did they try to burn a cross from your house because, you know, you don't believe in this? You know, they don't care about all that, man. They just want to know what it is. And if they do prosecute you, okay, now you got the private. What's it, the private people coming in and saying, okay, well, I know in Savannah or Statesville or Rikers or whatever, Rikers got 7,000 beds. We short another 800 beds because they, you know, they free. Then you got Statesville. They got 200 beds that's available, and only, you know, you look at the other one, they probably got 100. So, okay, so what are we going to do? All right, well, we can start filling up the 100, and then we can go down the line. Okay, we got 100 beds that's filled over here, so they out the way. We are the full house, so we know how much we're going to get from them. Now we're going to go to the 600 or the 700. We know how much we're going to get from them. You know what I'm saying? It's all a number, man. It's all numbers, man. When you look at it at the end of the day, everything is a number. You know, that's why
how can you guarantee a prison that's built the number of people that's going to be and fill that prison system? Because the politicians and the people who are in financial, who control the economics of this world, are the ones who are passing these laws and saying, hey, I know a way that is going to trap XYZ people. This is how we're going to trap them. And you ever know, they are always creating laws. Man has never stopped creating laws. It's a law for another law, and it's subtitle B, section A, 1, 2, 3. And this is what it all breaks down to be. So somewhere along the line, you done created some type of infraction, we got you on. And if I know anything, I know man make mistakes. So I'm going to make a law for every mistake I can find.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bill, like he said,
you can ride down the street in your car, and the police can pull you over, and they can make up any old reason why they pulled you over. It looked like your car didn't have enough tire, air pressure in your car and the tires. There was not enough air pressure in your tires. So I wanted to pull you over and see, you know, why, because that's endangering lives of other citizens.
Hmm.
But
you know
he could be riding down the street with his headlights out, talking on his cell phone and everything, but he's going to pull you over.
Well, they prey on that, brother. You know, not to cut you off, they prey on that, man. You know, like I said, man, remember when I was doing the amendments? I'm still going to do the amendments, man. You got to know your Bill of Rights. You got to know your amendments. Some of these things now to where so many people don't even know their amendments. They don't even know that they're trying to take the Fourth Amendment out. They don't even know that they're trying to, the 9th, 10th, and the 14th Amendment, if them don't go hand in hand, the 10th Amendment don't mean nothing. You know, they don't know this. And then they got another female, I think she's a state representative, she's trying to rewrite another amendment and trying to add another amendment to all the amendments. So when they say that you got freedom of speech, yeah, you do have freedom of speech, but they said the Bill of Rights, that's why they only That's why they only came up with 10 bills. But it's so many. You got so many rights. They can't write them all down. You got so many rights. They ain't say that you don't have a right to have no babies.
If I have a freedom of speech, then why is it that when Isaiah Washington said that he didn't like gays or whatever, however, if he had a freedom of speech, why did he get fired from his job? Isn't that against the Constitution?
Yes, because he's a public figure, and it wasn't him that made him get fired. I mean, he did get fired from his job, but it wasn't him that looked bad. It was who he was working for. Said, well, if we keep him on our squad, we gonna, you know, people gonna stop buying from us. People gonna, our brand gonna start, you know, depreciating. So we gotta get rid of the weakest link. It's just, that's just only, that's business 101. If something is spoiled in the back, we gotta hurt him, get rid of that one, for it taints everything else. When he could have said, okay, well, we're gonna keep him, we're gonna keep working, letting him work with us, and we're gonna keep him on the team. And you know, he did say he apologized and do this and do that, but at the same time. Man, these people, man, it's all about money for them, man. You know,
at the end of the day, I'd rather die as a man than die on my knees. And as I looked at it, as when he apologized, he didn't die as a man. He died on his knees. Because if you're a man, you're going to stand up behind what you said. If I was talking about you behind your back, Dennis, come to me and say, did you say this, that, and the other? Did you know this personally out of me? I will come and tell you, yeah, I said it. And I'll say the reasons why I said it. And I had no problem with it because I'm a man. I'm going to stand behind my word. We got some punk-ass men out here. And I'm just going to be real talk. We got some punk-ass men. And I'm talking about my culture, blacks. They some pussies. They got money, but they want to motherfucking put their tail between their legs. Well, you know, Master been good to me. You know, he made sure I got a house and I'm riding good. I'm better than all the other house dick bros, and I'm more better than the real nigga. So at the end of the day, I'm just good right here. I'm not gonna make no fuss. Ice Cube used to be militant. Let's pay attention. Fuck the police. NWA. When he went to American KKK and started his first album came out. I got to download the old album, download it on my phone. When he came out with his old album, not every black man in America went and bought that. So what did they do? They took that field Negro and said, we're going to put you in the house. Now we're going to move you from the house, from the first floor, we're going to put you in the penthouse. How did they do that? He ain't talking that same shit anymore. He's in movies and with Disney and every goddamn thing else. KKK. I like Ice Cube, don't get me wrong, but let's call a spade a spade. Negro, you are not talking the same language when you first came out, bro. What changed?
I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm gonna tell you what made him change the way that he is now. And, you know, everybody, you know, I watch these documentaries, and like I say, man, you know, documentary is nothing but like history, man. It's still his story. He's telling you what it is, but they can't give you everything unless you're behind the scenes, off the cameras, off the microphone. They'll tell you what's going on. But, you know, from what I've seen with him, it started with the Oakland Raiders first. All right? Remember when they was wearing the Raiders brand and all that stuff or whatever? The Raiders didn't want to get him no money. They was going to do $1 million contract with them because they started promoting nothing but Raiders stuff. Raiders was still hard, saying they was trying to come up, you know, saying real big or whatever with the, you know, with their football players. But NWA was one of them, not all of them. He was one of the groups, rap groups that put the Raiders on the map because they started seeing that they was wearing them. Then they started bringing the ratings up, and they started selling more jerseys, jackets, hats, or whatever. Then again, that's how they started making money off us or whatever. And then they went back to go do a contract deal with these people. The guy told him no. They're not going to pay them this type of money because you know what they said to them? because you took our brand and you utilized it and turned it into a gang. Now it looks like it's gang colors now. So all these all our fans are you know saying all our fans are at you know saying how do you say that word they are in harm's way now. This is one of the main reasons why we have to move from here to go back to here. And that wasn't true. Later on down the line, we found out that the owner of the Raiders, what he wanted was he wanted certain things. He wanted main full control over everything from the franchise to the television. He wanted full control over all that. So that way when the money comes in, he know it's coming to him. And a lot of the people did not want to give him full control over a system. You know, that's just like you got your beer company, and the other brother, did you say your name was Fergami? What is it again? Yami? He got the popcorn stand. And I'm telling you, yeah, since you're in my house, as in the Raiders Stadium, I want control over all this. I still pay you 60% or whatever it is or whatever, but I want full control over is, okay, we know that caramel popcorn sales or whatever, and you might have your popcorn brand on there. No, we're going to put the Raiders brand on there going forward. Okay, well, how you going to know that my popcorn even is this if you could have put all my brand on there? So you killing me. Yeah, so that's what it is, man. That was the reason why the Ice Cube learned about it, man, and moved forward, and he started learning that the only way you're going to make money is you just got to be quiet. Listen. And move forward.
But see, the thing about it is this, and what I'm mad about is that we don't understand as far as every other nationality comes over here. They get the money, but they go back to their neighborhood. We're the only ones that want to get money and still try to blend in. For what? We are the only ones that want to be accepted. Why? They don't want you. They don't like you. They never have. They never will. Trying to be accepted. Why is it that we always have to assimilate? Why is it that we always have to be the ones who turn around and say, hey, you know, this, that, and the other? Why is it that we have to be like that?
Nobody don't, you know, everybody got answers, man, but scared to go in front of it, man. Think about it, man. This is my personal opinion. And, I'm sorry that I'm overly talking, but just off of my personal opinion, man.
Yeah.
What I think it is just that everybody that's trying to step up, you know, like how Malcolm X did, Martin, all these other people that are the alphas of the whole organization, Marcus Garvey. You know, all these alphas, you know, the betas are the ones that's trying to figure out, man, how can I be the alpha? What do I need to do to be the alpha now? You know, I'm the beta. Really, the person that had all the power was the beta because they didn't have to worry about being assassinated, and they knew just as much as the alpha. They didn't have to worry about none of that. That's why the betas was the ones that was doing what they was doing, but you got people that was coming inside of it. You know, we got a group, we got a tight group that's going on right now. Okay, LB, you might say, hey, man, my cousin knows something. Your cousin could be affiliated with the CIA, the FBI. We don't know that. You know what I'm saying? All he's doing is trying to provide for his family. So they're going to take care of his family, whatever they bring him into the organization. Guess what? We triple now. Guess what? Everything getting burnt down. Everything that's happening to somebody, man, it's happening because somebody that you know. It's not because of nobody that you know. How many people that you know, we from the South Side, how many Caucasians that you know other than police officers that's going to come in a ghetto area and just break into your career? And you stay in an apartment building. Why are they breaking into just your career? It's got to be somebody that knew you had something in there. So they're going to come in there, they're going to get it. You know, people don't understand that, man. It's not it's not how you figure it out. It's who you telling. Because they're going to figure it out for you. That's what it is, man. That's just my personal opinion, man. I'd be afraid to, you know, broadcast some of these type of things, man, my show get a whole bunch of static for 1 week straight. You know, and I'm thinking that it's because of the rain, and 9 times out of 10 it don't be. It's just because they don't want this stuff to be publicized. You know, and that's crazy. I don't know. I don't know, man, but that's what it is. That's my opinion, man. A lot of people, you know, they got the means of doing what it is. They mean well. They know well. But they say the famous, what was the guy? Les Brown said all the famous people as well. You know, said with all the imaginary minds, with all the ancient stuff, and with all the things that we're building, that they're trying to build up today, that we probably built 10 times fold already. They call it 25th century. All them people are dead in the graves. The graves are very famous because a lot of people are scared to stand up and say something. They take it down to their grave with me. That's what they say, I take it to my grave with me, because they're afraid. Or they know that if I do something, I got a family. I got a family to feed. What are they going to do? It's just like the mob. I'm going for your family. If I can't get you, I'm going for your family. Look at that movie with not the most recent movie. What's his name that just passed away, and God bless his soul, Mandela. Okay, with Nelson Mandela. Look at his the story of his first wife. She started talking. When she started talking, guess what they did? They started putting her in jail. They started doing everything. They couldn't get to Nelson Mandela, so they'd go for his wife, his first wife. And guess what they did to her? They put stuff on her. They put her in jail. They locked her up. Well, Nelson Mandela was already locked up. They got him for what they say, he was a terrorist. All he was doing was trying to spread peace amongst the Africans. Not African-Americans, Africans. He was standing up for his African rights. He wanted everybody that's from the United States or whatever it was that was an African, was a Pan-African. He wanted them to come together as one and let them do their own organization, let them do their own act. Why is it that with Latinos or the Asians or the Koreans, they come over here, the Arabics, they come over here, they get grant money to start their own business. But Africans, they can't stand African-Americans because we're so westernized. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. But, fellas, y'all feel
hey,
there, y'all.
Hey, it's the divide and conquer system. I got to keep them off balance. I got to keep them off their toes. Because if I turn around and let the Africans that come over here believe that they're just as powerful as the African-Americans and that everything is equally yoked, then at the end of it all, if they believe that they are just the same, then I got more. So how do I do this to keep the count down low? I let the African-Americans believe that they're better than Africans, and I let the Africans believe that they're better than the Americans.
They say they make them watch the tape. You got when you come over into the States, man, they pull you in the back, and you got to watch the tape, a tape or something about who you can go around and who you can't go around. And mainly the African-Americans are the ones that they making us as hate. They doing it just like the news. They just pull them in the back and say, hey, if you go around this neighborhood and you go do this, this is what's going to happen to you. But if you go over here, this is what's going to happen to you. Just like when you said that you'd rather be called a man of God instead of being called a Christian. But they got it to where if you're a Christian, who they got on TV? They got the white Jesus. They got the white... They got the white, what they call him, Picasso, that's what his name is. You know, they got him on there. They got what's called a family up there, you know. And that's so crazy, you know, far as when you get older and learning this stuff, man, and you getting educated to say, okay, well, let me start going back to start teaching my brothers and sisters what's going on. You know how many people that's been trying to do this? But they can't, man, because you got things like the public aid. You got things like, what is it, Medicaid, Medicare. I think they're going to take that away. But you got things of these natures, man, where the man that's supposed to be doing it or the man that's supposed to be the head of the household, they can't be the head of the household now because you got your siblings, not your siblings, but your girlfriend and their kids, they all on welfare. They don't need you no more. And that's a mixture of the Willie Lynch. And they said the Willie Lynch stuff's on. The Willie Lynch letter is not real. You know, that's just crazy, man, how you just look at everything and trying to dissect it all at one time. And even going back to what their brother said about the abortion, they got on these, I think it was the pastors, so hard because the pastors started putting up posters saying that, you know, basically saying that you're killing me. They have a pretty little girl up there saying that you're killing me or whatever, or if we keep doing this, this is what it really is, or everybody thinks that the hate crimes are the ones that's really doing it, but it's really the females killing, are aborting our African-American people, you know, and it was hitting home. So they would get so much media from it. They said this is exactly what we wanted to do, but then it started turning to multimedia with it, so it started turning to hate media. Oh, man, we hate you because you're putting this up for abortions, but they're going right around the corner to the white clinic. How many black abortion clinics that you know that's out here? Can you name one? I don't even know anybody from Planned Parenthood that's black, that's a manager at these clinics. You know, I don't know, brothers. But man, we got about a minute, man, so go ahead.
You're on point, B. I'm just going to say that. You're on point. Dead on point. I like the caller who called in and said what he had to say. You know, he was dead on target. I believe that at some point in time, I don't know if we'll ever come together because right now I think everything has to break down to the smallest element in order for us to realize where we at. I am a person who believes that we were better off segregated than integrated. I believe integration was the worst thing that could have ever happened for us because, once again, we had two types of people. We had the field Negro and the house Negro. We had the house Negro who wanted to be like the white man, and we had the field Negro who just wanted the equal rights. That was it. He didn't want to live in the white man's neighborhood. He didn't want to go and live within the system and anything else of that nature. And I truly believe that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to our culture.
Well, man, look, man, thank you, man, for being on the show. And thank the other caller that called in, too, man. I really appreciate you, too, man. Call in a little bit more often, man. We really need this, you know, coming together.
Yeah, I like
it. And what's so beautiful about it is you believe in God, he don't believe in God, and we still got along. Ain't that something?
Definitely, most definitely.
All
right, man. I'll see y'all later on.
All right, brother.
Yeah, I said I'll see y'all later on.
All right, thank you.
So, all right, catch it.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
The Western Worldwide Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworldone.com and click yes to the mobile app.